church for the good song service. We're thankful that you're here this morning. Some are gone, some are on vacation, some are just not here for other reasons. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. My first scriptures will come out of Hebrews 10. We've been studying the study there. Let me just say, I hope you have a copy of our newsletter. You'll find these online at fbmbaptist.com. The March the 10th, 11th, and 12th will be in Odell, Indiana at Northside Baptist Church, where Elder Larry Wilson is pastor, and we'll be speaking there on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. If you can, please do make that Bible conference. It'll be a very good one. We're glad to have our members here. Glad to have Joshua Kidd back with us. He's been out a while because of his illnesses, and we're thankful that he's here. Also thankful for Justin. Let me not ever let that slide. Justin leads our song leading. He does our treasure now. And he fills in for me when I'm gone. Lord gives a lot of pastors, young preachers in their churches. I've never had one. Back when we had Country Baptist Church, Horace used to have three or four at one time, and we just couldn't preach enough. But here we don't have that fortune, that blessing. So Justin built in for us, and we're very thankful for that. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son that pleased God. The reason he pleased God because he is God's Son. He didn't become God's Son, he was born God's Son. He's always been God's Son from eternity past, according to John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. So, in saying that, Jesus was the perfect Son because when he was here on earth as the Son of Man, he did everything the Father had elected him to do. He told us that he came to do his Father's will, not his will. But his will and the Father's will were really the same, wasn't it? But he did his Father's will, and part of that will was to give his life on that cross for our sins, to endure the chastisement of people, to surrender himself to the punishment of this world and Satan and those that were following after Satan and giving himself for our sins. Very important that we remember that. And that's the reason I want to preach you a series of messages. Probably have a couple more after this one. But it's very important that we study these series because we start out with God, the Father, God himself. And then we got on the Lord Jesus Christ and as him as a perfect Son. And if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10, I'm not going to read all 14, but we actually started 1 through 14, but he said in verse 3, in those sacrifices, there are remembrance again made of sins every year, talking about the blood of bulls and goats, the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. He said in verse 4, where it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. You hear that? Mm-hmm. They can't take away sins. Amen. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but the body thou hast prepared for me. And burn offering, verse 6, and burn offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. And then he goes over to verse 12, and he says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down right hand to God.
Amen.
What did he do? He offered up his sacrifice for sins, didn't he? Now, if you'll turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 3, after our introduction, our first point was a putting on the new man. It's called perfecting of the saints, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. And the second point was we are to look at Jesus, the only man who ever pleased God. And now we're to our third point, and that is Jesus, we did 3.3 last week. Jesus is God in the flesh, John 1 through 3, 10 through 11. And our This brings us to our fourth point, because we ended last week talking about He is God's redemption. Redemption is important. And today we're going to look at redemption, because Jesus Christ is our redemption. He is our Redeemer. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in his Son," that is in Christ Jesus, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past throughout forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus." So he is the redemption. He is. Nothing else. Nothing else. God set a lamb slain before the foundation of the world to redeem his lost elect. His blood, and only his blood, will wash away our sins. Not just past, not just present, not just future, but all of them. Every sin we will commit, we will not stand found guilty of. Because Jesus Christ came to this world and gave his life on that cross that we might stand holy one day before God as children, as heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So we want to look today at the word redemption and how that he is our Redeemer. It says in verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The word redemption has three different definitions. If you'll follow along with me, we'll learn about all three of them. And all three of them are important to us. The first of three definitions for the word redemption is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The first definition we will look at is to buy in. Is to buy in. Is to buy in the slave market. We're not just saved. We're not just justified. We've been bought. We were in a slave market. We belong to Satan. We belong to sin, didn't we? We also belong to death. So it means to buy in the slave market. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. "We are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Jesus went to the slave market of sin and bought us in this slave market of sin by his own blood. Why did God send Jesus to Calvary? Why did God allow his son, his perfect son, his lamb, his beloved son, to go through what he went through? Because he went to the slave market. He bought us. He paid for us. With everything from his, not just his birth, not just his walk in life, not just his perfect living in life, but the time that he was arrested in the garden, the time he was taken and beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten, and beaten. Beaten so much, he was unrecognizable. Which was prophesied in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Amen. That's what you call buying in. We are bought with the price, beloved. Therefore, we are not to be the servants of men. We're not the servants of this world. We're not the servants of Satan. We are the servants of God. I know that the day's time we live in, there are few Christians that feel like they are servants of God. They're buying into the old slave market again. They're going back into the world and acting like the world and being part of the world and not attending church, not reading their Bible, not studying, show themselves approved unto God, not going to Bible conferences, not going to revival services, not going to Bible meetings, or how you want to put it. They got to the point they don't care anymore. Jesus went to the cross. He went through all he went through the slave market and through the slave market.
Amen.
To buy us. I've seen on the news where a company, an actual company, has hundreds of employees, brought their employees out and separated the whites and the colors, whether you're black or Hispanic or any other race besides white, and made the white employees get on their knees and bow to them, the blacks and the other colors. I wouldn't work for that company.
Amen.
You might well shoot me. I will never do it. I will never bow to anybody. Ever. Ever. I belong to the Lord. And we go back into history, and we see this, don't we? Mm-hmm. We see in the dark ages where all these good Christians, sound, faithful, solid grace, saved believers were executed because they would not recant Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but people that are not saved by Jesus Christ and they're saved by themselves, by their works or whatever, they hate us. They hate true Christians. They don't like us at all. They think they're better than we are. They stand on a high pedestal. They think they're doing a work that they cannot do. These were not just Roman soldiers. These were not just government. These were not just people. These were people that called themselves Christians. And the name of the organization was Catholicism. Among others. You didn't hear the news back a few years back. The Lutherans had officially apologized to the Mennonites. You'll never find the Catholics ever apologizing to anybody. So that's buying in the slave market. The second one is in Galatians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 5. It says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is to buy out of the slave market. You buy in the slave market, and you buy out of the slave market. We were brought out of the slave market, out of the power over us of sin. So the redeemed are never to be put up for sale in any slave market ever again. Jesus went in and purchased us. Bought us out of it. I don't know about you, that sounds wonderful to me. You know, there's a difference between saved people and lost people. A lot of saved people don't act like it. And I know a lot of saved people, and I'm not talking about people think they're saved, count this. I'm talking about real Christians. A lot of them don't like me. A lot of them don't like people like me. A lot of them don't like posts I make because I don't get up and say welcome and happy day from Texas County. I actually say something with substance. And most time I say something with substance on Facebook, it's something they don't like. People don't like chastening of the Lord. And that's what Scripture do. They chasten us, don't they? They tell us we're wrong. We have been bought out of the slave market. We are not under the power of sin. If Christians are under the power of Satan, under the power of this world, under the power of sin, they did it to themselves. And I really do love the comeback. Well, God will judge me. Well, actually, yes, he will. And actually, his name is Jesus Christ. And we will all stand before Jesus Christ as judge.
Amen.
But if you think I'm harsh, you wait till you're judged by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They think, they have it in their mind, then when they face the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, he's going to be all loving and kind and say, son, you're forgiven, going into heaven. That ain't the way it works. That's not going to be his judgment. This book right here is the code of our judgment. This is the case he will use against us. Not our sins. Our sins were forgiven by the very one that will judge us. Through his blood, every sin, we've been bought out of the slave market. But that doesn't mean that we're allowed to go back into the slave market. Why would you want to be in a mess when Jesus worked so hard to get you out of it? Look at what he went through to redeem us, to buy us out of that slave market. That's the reason it propels me. it confuses me. Maybe because I'm a pastor. Maybe because I go to church every time. I don't know. Maybe because I study. Maybe because I have a great desire to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I don't understand people not wanting to serve the Lord. God help me if I ever get in that position. I mean, I understand we fall into sin sometimes, but we have to notice that, recognize it, and get ourselves out of it because Jesus worked so hard to buy us out of it. So the first word, redemption, in 1 Corinthians 7:23 is to buy into the slave market. Second is buy out of the slave market, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2. In verse 14, it says, who, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. By this, the believer is set free from sin and free from living a life of pleasing the world and pleasing sin to pleasing God. This word, redeemed, means to be brought, to be bought, and to be set free. Free. To be set free. So he bought in the slave market, bought us out of the slave market, and bought us and set us free. Not free to do what we want in this world. Not free to go to church or not go to church. Forsaking the assembling of yourself together to sin itself. Not free to go out with your buddies. Not free to do what you want to in this world. But you're free from sin. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ who has set us free from not only the power of sin, but also the condemnation of sin.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be awful to go through life wondering if your work is good enough to get you to heaven?
Amen.
Wondering if you was a member of the proper church and baptized by the proper church in order to be saved? Mm-hmm. anybody figure any of that stuff out? I mean, if the Baptists are not the Church of Jesus Christ, who is? It's impossible that there's a universal visible church. It doesn't exist. There's no scripture. There's no reality. In defining a church, that the church is a universal visible church, it does not exist. Easiest thing in the world should hold to is the universal visible church. They have no structure. So they come back to, well, one has local churches and the universal visible church. That's not scripture either. I had a believer of that one time telling me, well, when the Lord talks about the church, he's talking about the universal visible church. When he talks about the churches, he's talking about the local church. Does that make sense? So I'm supposed to believe that us and the Lutheran and the Methodist and the Catholics and the Mormons are all pillars and ground of truth? No, I'm not to believe that. Jesus did not start something of confusion. Everything in the church is to be done in a proper order. Decently in an order, I believe it says. So we've been simply, it says, who gave himself for us.
Amen.
Who went into the slave market and bought us out of the slave market. That's redemption, isn't it?
Amen.
And not only did he give himself for us, but he did it that he might redeem us from a few of our sins. That's not what it says, is it?
Amen.
Our past sins? No. Our past and present sins? No. That he might redeem us from all sin. When he went to Calvary, redemption was fulfilled. He went in the slave market, he come out of the slave market, and he freed us when he died.
Amen.
And purified, not a partial purification, but purified unto himself. How's that? Because we belong to him. We are his from eternity past. God gave a remnant to him before the foundation of the world. In what's called the eternal covenant. So he took that remnant and he went in the slave market, came out of the slave market, and in doing that, he bought us and set us free.
Amen.
From sin. From sin. Not free to sin, but free from sin. So he purified unto himself a peculiar people. And listen to the last part. Zealous of good works.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to be.
Amen.
You don't know why some of our Christians work so hard in our church? You don't know why some Christians fall over backwards and work their fingers and knees to the bones trying to get things done in the Lord's church? You don't know why they work so hard out into the world to get the gospel to the world? You don't know why they pray so much and study so much and work so much in God's word? Because of that. Because they've been redeemed. and they parted to few people that has a great zeal for good work. Mm-hmm. Man, what God said about in Romans, I believe it's chapter 9 or 10, I think it's chapter 10, where Paul was talking about the Jews, he said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's all those that believe in works for salvation. Folks, you cannot cut corners around Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything outside of Jesus Christ. He is God's perfect son. And if you're going to be God's perfect son, you too are going to have to go through Jesus Christ to get there. Mm-hmm. He's the mediator. He's the bridge.
Amen.
He is the eternal bridge. A bridge that cannot be torn down. Romans chapter 8, the last part of that chapter, verse 39, I think it's verse 35 and 39 down. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God,
amen,
which is in Christ Jesus. And God includes every area you could possibly think of right there. Because we didn't back. We're not self-redeemers. We have been redeemed by the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So we looked at three different words. And these, I didn't make these up. They're actually definitions. I got them from Vines and Vines Dictionary. Age Vine, or whatever, I think it's Age Vine. Vines Dictionary. Where he makes these three a distinct difference. He bought in, he bought out, and he bought us to set us free. Free from sin. Not free from God. Our closeness to God is our zeal, isn't it? All three, though, have different Greek words. But stream to Jesus Christ, dying and freeing us from sin, from death, and from destruction. Freed from the slavery of sin to please God, to work for the Lord, to be like Jesus, to walk like him, act like him, be like him. That's what a Christian is. No, we can't be him. We can only be that child in him, through him. There's no other way There's no other way for this to be accomplished except through the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Free from the slavery of sin. You know what that means? Sin has no power over us. Sin has the power we allow sin to have. Hear me? Sin has only the power, just like Satan. Satan's our great adversary, isn't he? He would love to come in here and tear this church apart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It would tickle him. You don't know. You remember when they killed the two witnesses in Revelations in the tribulation period? At the end of it, at the end of the first half of the tribulation period, when they drag them dead bodies out in the street because they couldn't kill them before, and they made them so happy they could kill them. It's kind of like the lunatics in the world today. In fact, they're a prime example of what you're going to see. I mean, could you imagine certain politicians being killed and drug out in the middle of the street, how crazy they would go? Oh, they're actually going to bring presents to each other because they hate them. Hate us. They hate this church. They hate that Bible right there. They hate me. And a lot of Christians today are allowing themselves to be drugged down back in the slave market of sin because it's their choice. It's their choice. Just like it's your choice to be here this morning, it's their choice not to be here this morning. You say, well, you got to put the problems of God in there. I'm here because God put me here. God did put you here this morning. But that's no excuse for them. It's not a pat on your back for being here because God put us here.
Amen.
But it is their responsibility to be here. They're not here, even if God put them here or not this morning. They're not here. They're responsible. Just like most people. Well, God didn't redeem me, so I'm not responsible. You are responsible for your sins. The people that crucified Jesus are responsible for crucifying the Lord, but he forgave them. No, he didn't. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I need to finish this point so I can get to my next point. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Mm-hmm. How much more do we need, folks? Why do people keep putting themselves into salvation when God keeps saying it's only through Jesus Christ? Titus chapter 2, we just read. Titus chapter 2, 14 said he gave himself that we might redeem from all iniquity and purify unto himself the peculiar people, zealous and good works. Mm-hmm. Who did it? Jesus did it. Here it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Mm-hmm. We have deliverance, folks. We have deliverance from all our guilt of sin. I get tired of people going back in their life and saying, God did this and God's doing this to me today because I sinned in the past. No, he's not. That's satanic intuition. God doesn't continually punish us for sin.
Amen.
I had a preacher brother of mine. I'm not going to say who he is because I live in death. He's gone now, but I'm still going to say it. Told me that his autistic child was the result of his sin in the past. What? I don't believe that no more than I believe a man sitting on the moon right now listening to us. Our sins are forgiven. They weren't forgiven when you were saved. They were forgiven when Jesus went to Calvary.
Amen.
His blood was shed on that cross for your sins to be forgiven. Everything in our life as Christians is a blessing.
Amen.
We don't control things. Christians need to understand, we do not control things.
Amen.
God does. Just like, and I've told this story before, I'll tell it again. I knew this lady when she started coming to our church. She had a niece or something, used to come there. And her niece brought her in. She was in a wheelchair. She had no arms, she had no legs. Can't remember, but cut off at the elbows and knees, but she had no arms or legs. And all she could ever talk about was how blessed she was of God. She never blamed her sin. She never blamed her parents. She never blamed anybody. All she ever done was talk about how much God loved her and how much God had done for her. Sin's not the result of our bad things in life. And things we sometimes look at bad is not a bad. It's a blessing, isn't it? I never had the strength nor the power or knowledge to ever tell this brother that he was wrong, and I wouldn't have because he'd probably rip my head off if I did. But he was wrong. That's God punishing us for sin that Jesus punished for. And Jesus bought us, folks. He went in the slave market, came out of the slave market, and he redeemed us long before we was ever born. See, God set up salvation in eternity past when he elected us. Once God elected us, there's no way we weren't going to be saved. And then he gave us to Jesus as a remnant in the great covenant. Then he sent Jesus here to this world in the likeness of simple flesh, in the form of a man, to do what we should have done, but we couldn't because of sin. And that's live a perfect life unto the Lord. Then God sent Jesus to the cross and went into the slave market, come out of the slave market, went to Calvary and bought our sins, paid for them. Redeemed us. If you don't get that from the scriptures we read this morning, you need to study some more. Hebrews 4, chapter 10. Back to our original text. We have deliverance from the guilt of sin. We have deliverance from the guilt of sin. Because all of our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. All of them.
Amen.
Through the redemption of Jesus Christ. So what's this do for us? It brings us to perseverance. The last part of Sovereign Grace, 5 points of Sovereign Grace to it. In verse 14, and I'm going to finish this. It may take a couple more minutes. I'm sorry about the time. But I'm going to finish this to get into our fifth point. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. And that is a lamb that God had ordained, slain before the foundation of the world. In his perfect son.
Amen.
Making us perfect children. Go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and John 10. I'm going to finish this real quick. I'll be finished by the time time gets run out. So while you turn to 1 Peter 1, he said plainly, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, made holy. Perfected them.
Perfected them once and for all through the blood of Jesus.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God out through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's us, folks. Our sins are not counted against us. The word kept means to be a watcher in advance. That is to mount guard over us. Jesus is our mounted guard, and he will never leave us to fall. Ever.
Amen. He will never leave his post. Ever. God promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit promised, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Where the Father is, the Son is. Where the Son is, the Holy Spirit is.
And his post defines it this way, to keep with a military guard. If I was going to trust any kind of a guard, I would trust a military guard. Go to John chapter 10. I'll finish this with this. John chapter 10. I have about 2 minutes left. In verse 28 and 29, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
Do you get the message? Do you hear what the Lord's saying? He went into the slave market, come out of the slave market with us. You don't know why he lived such a horrible life? Why his death was so horrible? He was paying for our sins. He was purchasing us. And it wasn't cheap. It cost him his life. Jesus gave to us eternal life. And we are in his hand, and we cannot be removed from his hand. Because he is the omnipotent, he is the most powerful of all gods, of all power.
Amen.
Eternal life means a life without end. That's redemption, folks. Next week, we're going to look at our deliverance once and for all. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
This is a beautiful passage of scripture over in Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 14. Study it more. Come up with things I didn't come up with. That's what it is about loving the Lord and respecting the Lord and loving your Savior and respecting your Savior for everything he's done for you. Even if we sin 100 times over, he forgives us 100 times over. 100 times 100. 100 times 100 times 100 times 100 times 100. There's no sin he has not forgiven us for. No sin he did not die on that cross for. I hope you're saved this morning. If not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's Acts chapter 16, 30, 31. Thank you. God bless you. Let's all stand. Brother Justin's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song this morning. If there's any reason to come this morning, you come.